Speaking of anthracyclines, I'm curious what your take was on the data presented on anthracycline cardiomyopathy at ASCO.
I'm still actually digesting that information. The issue was, of course, they saw very high levels of anthracycline toxicity, suggestive of, as I remember it, 10 to 20%. And those numbers like that are, of course, different from clinical trial data. And what this actually calls into question in my mind is the biases that occur when there's long-term follow-up. For instance, if you're a clinician, we often lose track of our patients after about 10 years. We're most likely to hear again about them if they have something awful that happens. And also, for instance, an attribution of what that's due to can be biased as well. One of the questions that I have about the overview analysis is the overview analysis is beginning to make statements about the long-term safety of treatments. So they're looking at 20 years and they're saying it is or is not. But there's enormous potential for ascertainment biases out there, both good and bad. And that is that patients that tend to run into trouble you hear about. Other things are, for instance, in some of those trials with radiation therapy versus no radiation therapy, who's following those patients if they didn't get the treatment? And so those patients might be, for instance, vastly underreported in terms of what kind of problems they run into. So I have to say that the presentation at ASCO based on the SEER information and coupling that with the Medicare database is a really big cautionary note that we may be missing late cardiac toxicity. On the other hand, it may actually be biased by reporting issues.
I think the other thing that was kind of interesting about that analysis is the magnifying effect that comorbidities had, for example, hypertension.
They did look at other comorbidities, and yeah, certainly there was some of that. But once again, you know, you have to worry a little bit about ascertainment bias. For instance, if you have hypertension and you're taking drugs for it, then you're more likely to be followed and you're more likely to have events observed. So at any rate, I think that none of us should be completely reassured by that data. And if anything, it emphasizes the importance of long-term follow-up. I would like to point out one thing, and that is that there's really troubling trends on the national level in terms of funding of cooperative groups. Funding has been frozen or decreased over the last few years. This has caused the cooperative groups, even for breast cancer, some of them, to actually stop follow-up at 10 years. And yet we know that relapses, and we know for radiation therapy, what appear to be treatment-related events occur after 10 years. So that for some cancers, maybe for people with testicular cancer, you can forget about following them at 5 years. Although even there, you could argue the long-term issues of toxicity are important. But certainly in breast cancer, the whole story is not over at 10 years. And, you know, whether or not there's a long-term impact of these agents that is for ill is something we don't really know yet. I would say, by the way, in somewhat in contrast with the data that was presented from the SEER registry, there's been high MUSS's efforts looking at toxicity in older patients. And I haven't seen any big signature of anthracycline-based therapy, although the follow-up is a little bit shorter. And clinical trials have some strengths, but also have their own biases.